Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Queer Quadrant, a podcast where we, two bisexual filmmakers, examine cinema in all its cultural contexts and explore why your favorite four-quadrant blockbuster is maybe not as straight as you think it is. Who's there?
Who's that knocking at the door?
Who is it?
Should we open it? Should we maybe let the devil in?
Sure.
Should we maybe Venom, I got that adrenaline momentum? Momentum in?
Wait, what are you talking about? Oh, okay.
Eminem's, what, you don't remember the famous song Venom by Eminem?
I was listening to it when the credits were rolling.
Knock, knock.
Who's
Let
there?
The devil in.
Okay, thank you.
It's Venom.
Okay. So.
It's me, Venom.
Thank you.
Oh, no.
When I was watching this. When we were watching this movie.
We actually didn't.
We did not watch it together.
But you and Venom.
When the symbiote and
she
I.
She Venom, yes.
Yes, she Venom.
Together.
Is there actually a she Venom?
Yeah, or I that's guess Michelle.
Yeah.
Her character actually in the comics is actually she Venom.
She Venom. Venom. Yeah. But is it.
Shenom.
Shenom. Shenom.
Shenom.
Is <That's>, it.
You're Eminem pronouncing she Venom. Shenom.
Is it the same in the comics? Is it the same symbiote?
As Venom, I don't think so.
Okay, because I was going to say.
Maybe. I don't know.
Venom
I will say.
Gender.
He did. Venom has no gender. Uh-huh. And Venom reproduces asexually.
Reproduces asexually. Okay.
So but is Venom our most
inclusive character that
like,
we've ever
covered? Do we put
covered?
Him on our Mount Rushmore of woke
I don't think
icons?
Being gender non-conforming just counts as
being a
woke.
Villain and eating heads.
Jordan.
I think that's pretty cool. He eats good guys and bad guys.
Your identity is not what makes you woke, man.
I don't know. Seems good for Venom. Gotta let the devil in.
I had an Eminem
Sorry.
Point. Oh, when I was watching this movie this time, because I hadn't revisited it.
You hadn't let the devil in.
I saw it in theaters.
Sure.
And I had totally forgotten that there was one Eminem credit song, but secondly,
Venom.
That the lyrics of the credit song are literally just like the events
yes.
of the movie and not a pop song that was designed for radio that then sort of
yes.
like Filtered relates
over.
To the movie.
Yes, no.
Like
it's
a
just
Venom
the movie.
Rap song.
Venom. Yeah. It's so bad. It's one of the worst songs
or
ever.
Is it? Great.
No, it's not. I really wanted to like it ironically, and even I can't like it. And then I have a very high ironic tolerance,
right?
And I couldn't for this.
Yeah,
it's just I don't know.
I was kind of having a good time.
Wow, you were letting the Venom, you were letting him run about.
I feel like I totally, having seen the film a second time now, I understand what it is.
Would you say that you bonded with Venom
with
that
the symbiote?
Become one?
Yeah, totally.
We are one.
You do a good Venom voice. I can't
voice
do
lot.
It. My vocal cords don't do that thing.
The go deep.
No. I mean, you know.
We have no secrets, Brooke.
Like, I can't do a Bat. I guess I did do a Batman impression.
You've done one.
Well, it's harder for Venom because you really have to go from, like, the back of your throat.
Eyes, lungs, pancreas.
Yes, he's pretty
so
good.
So many snacks, so little time.
Very good.
There we go.
Very good. This movie.
Really feeling like a turd in the wind right now.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Brooke Solomon.
Jordan Gustafson. And we are
Venom. I can't do it.
You gotta just really dig deep and pull it. Just like
Venom.
My vocal cords are different than yours.
Venom.
Venom. Today we're talking about
flamboyant Venom.
18's Venom.
Yes. A queer masterpiece.
One of
a
the greatest
perfect film.
Romantic comedies
no
of
notes.
Our time.
Yes, a romantic comedy.
Yes.
Has a studio ever pivoted so hard into recognizing that they had a rom-com on their hands
yeah.
so quick?
So we were watching right before we started recording.
Yes.
Jordan was watching the original Venom trailer.
The first cut.
Released
yes.
by Sony.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very Ding. Serious.
It is.
Did you just make the Sony sound?
Yes.
Ding.
Oh, no.
This is what happens when we don't have a guest to keep
yeah,
us in check.
Yeah, that was. But the fact that you also were like, wait, is
that
the Sony?
You
knock, knock, let the devil out.
It's worse than the THX.
It is.
Okay, no more. Yes. So we were watching the original Venom trailer, and it's very serious. It's very much like gritty reboot. It's like dark superhero
horror body.
Dare
torture.
I say DC-esque?
Very. Yes.
Yeah. Because I think that like the Sony branch of Marvel was supposed to be like the edgy branch of Marvel.
Right.
Well, even though it doesn't really exist.
You mean
anymore?
The Sony Spider-Man universe?
Right.
The
Spum.
That's what they their original, it was the Sony universe.
The Sony universe of Spider-Man.
Sony Cinema. I forget what it was, but it basically like was Spum was like the shortened, but they're changing it now to like the Sony Spider-Man cinematic universe. So it's like Spuck.
Okay.
You gotta
they're
fuck
all
with the Spuck.
Bad.
Get spucked.
Get spucked and end up with some Spum.
This is like there. It was like the Morbius. Like, well, I guess what they have now, where they're like, we're gonna do the dark Spideys.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no, go ahead.
No, go for it.
I don't know anything about Spider-Man history.
I mean, look, I can go deep. I did, unfortunately, write up a lot about the character.
I know you have a lot on the character.
We have a lot on. I think Brooke.
Yes.
People could be tuning in. They're dialing in.
Yeah.
Oh, hello there. Yes, this is the Eddie Brock Show. Oh, okay. No, sorry, bad bit. What I was gonna say is that this movie, I feel like a lot of people make fun of, and they view it as a bad movie. And I will not say that it is a masterpiece. I will not say that it's a perfect film. But people then could also criticize us and say, is Venom gay? Why are you guys covering this? Like, you know, we've covered some interesting stuff before.
Yeah.
I would argue that this movie, weirdly, is kind of gay. Like, very gay.
Upon rewatch, I remember watching it in the theater and being like, this is like a little bit of a rom-com. Mm. That's so funny. And like, rewatching it, I was like, oh yeah.
Oh, it's a rom-com.
It's all there.
Yeah.
It's all there. This
it's
is
like
this is
queer
not,
camp.
This is not sweaty. I would not say that this movie is camp.
I would say that Tom Hardy's performance is camp.
I would disagree.
Deranged? Unhinged.
Yes. Which is in a different
okay.
realm.
A different category.
Than
yes,
camp.
Yes, yes. I see you.
I do not think it is
a
straight performance.
I think Venom Let There Be Carnage has the potential to be camp.
Potentially, yes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. It's sort of like the Supreme Court's definition for porn. I can't define it, but I know it when I see it.
You're looking at Carnage and you're like seeing the wig and you're like, is it?
That's camp.
Is it not? I don't know. Will Woody Harrelson show up wearing that? Maybe.
Yes. No. Although, did you see the new poster that released like today?
Yeah, I did.
His
I did.
Hair looks bad.
What they should. Well, his hair didn't look good in the first place.
And it's true.
What, hair lack thereof.
Or lack
of
thereof.
Course. But yes. I agree. I think they should have kept the original wig.
The Party City wig?
The Party City wig. We're not talking about Let There Be Carnage
yet.
But as you were saying, though, I agree. I think what is interesting about this movie is that Venom started out as, because we've talked about sort of Venom before tangentially in our Spider-Man 3 episode.
I was gonna say,
right,
if you haven't listened or allow us to refresh your memory, when we talked about Spider-Man 3 with the Zillennial canon, we did a little bit on Venom, and Jordan had this like insane galaxy brain read of like what symbiotes represent, and I have the feeling that you've just been expanding on your thesis.
So I think Spider-Man 3 is like, you know, a little light is peeking through the door. It's like open a crack.
Uh-huh.
I think Venom kicks down the door and he walks in like screaming about his thesis.
Yeah, absolutely. And then proceeds to jump in a lobster tank.
Yes, yes. To cool himself down.
Yes.
That's going to be me this episode.
God. It's the... That scene is like actually
the best
riveting.
Scene ever.
It's
yes.
riveting. You can't look away.
Okay. I think that there are two within us. There is a Venom and there is a Tom Hardy
for
your, and every person, you know, and every one of us, there's a symbiote and there's a human. I think that dichotomy exists in this movie where there's a 2-star movie and there's a 5-star movie, and half of the movie is a 5-star, half of the movie is a 2-star. And it's unfortunate that the 2-star exists, because every single scene involving just Tom Hardy and Venom is maybe a masterpiece.
Yes.
And then when you get into, unfortunately, the Riz Ahmed plot in the actual story, it kind of gets a little boring.
Oh, yeah. But I will say, I think the benefit of this movie, for all intents and purposes, being a bad movie means that we get the Tom Hardy performance that we did.
Yes.
I think that if they were halfway through production and they were like, wait, we need to make this thing like great, actually really good, like we would have gotten a boring ass movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's so good because it's unhinged and because you can tell that they were like, you know what? Whatever,
he's just
man.
Going for
just
it.
Do whatever you
sure.
want. Who gives a fuck? This is going to make $800 million yeah. worldwide anyway.
Yeah.
Like that has to be 100%. The wavelength on which they were operating.
I think it's fascinating because it's like a two part is that like one, this movie has been like, they've been trying to get this off the ground since like 97, yeah. which is when they had the original David S. Goyer draft where
Damn.
Carnage was originally going to be the villain. Dolph Lundgren was like in talks to be Venom, which would have been insane.
Yeah.
And then we had like the Spider-Man 3 and everything. And we could dig further into this as we get towards production, but it's like, Venom has been such like a popular character for so long and is sort of one of those weird ones where it's like Eddie Brock and Venom are kind of both bro-y and like kind of jock energy. You know what I mean? It's like very popular, very mainstream. But at the same time, as I think we'll dig into, there are these like queer undertones to Venom that I think other sects of the community have been drawn towards.
Yeah.
And this movie sort of feels like it's in the middle of that, where it's sort of at odds with itself, and Tom Hardy feels like he recognizes sort of what makes Venom interesting. At least that's my read. I've never been like a Venom head where I'm like, Venom is the coolest. Like, he's cool. I like it. I love Spider-Man. So, like, obviously I like him. But, like, Venom, I think, inherently is like a vengeful, like, fucking gay guy. Like it starts out with Eddie Brock literally just like being upset that Peter like got the job that he wants and like spoiled like this. He basically was like investigating something Peter blah 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 Spider-Man does, but like with the whole church thing that we talked about in Spider-Man 3.
Oh,
where
so you're talking about like actual,
but
like
Spider-Man actual
3.
But no, but like that's in the comics too.
Okay, so that is like the origin,
that's like the
story.
Origin story. Yeah. Okay. But like his entire motivation starts from vengeance against like a scorned lover, Peter, but like that's both Eddie Brock and also Venom, because Venom, like the symbiote, is upset that Peter
right.
like kicks him out. So like from the get-go, Venom, this asexual non-gendered being,
Blob.
Is like upset about his former lover and like needs to find like a new relationship, and like within Venom they find like their symbiotic relationship and like create this healthy, not healthy because they're killing people and being villains,
but
like,
it, like
it's a healthy working relationship for them.
Yes.
So it's like you have that read, and then there are other people who are like, oh, Venom's this cool, big, buff, like anti-hero. Cool. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's these weird juxtapositions in the community.
I never understood sort of like the jock bro-y appeal to Venom, other than the fact that he's like jacked Spider-Man,
yeah.
essentially. Because it's like, I don't know. Like, he's an alien dude,
right.
and
yes.
he's not really, like, a bro in, like, a cool way. He's just
He's a
big.
Fucking reporter.
But I know that people yeah. like that.
Right,
about,
right.
I don't really understand it. But, yes. Was
it,
that, like, the history that you wanted to write
well,
down?
Well, I mean,
there's
there's so much more.
I want to, because I want to
yeah.
basically, like, before we get into, like,
Venom.
Picking apart what exactly, like, this
yeah.
film and this performance, like, means for the symbiotic relationship, I want to know sort of, like, how it stood before this movie. Because I think that this movie, like, did a lot.
Well, I think it honestly was already there. So it, like, starts out, well, so Venom, as you were saying, it, like, starts out as, like, a blob alien coming from outer space. And is basically, like, was written to be a suit. Like, just to give Spidey a cool fit. Like, that was the intention. And,
got
like,
it.
Obviously to sell more things. Like,
of course,
as we
always.
All do. Yeah. But then it turned into, as we were saying, like, becoming an actual thing and, like, people latching onto it. So then when you have the whole Eddie Brock Venom becoming this character, people start gravitating towards it. But, like, immediately from the get-go, I think it has this queer undertone that I don't think people necessarily either thought of or caught on to.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, from the beginning, it was immediately, like, having those things. Like, it has always sort of been, like, a reproducing, like, asexual being. It has always been genderless. They've never, like, given it, like, a he or a she or anything. It's always, like, been assumed more just because of, like, how they talk and things like that.
The hosts
right,
that
exactly.
the symbiotes pick, it's
right.
like
fitting the gender or
yes.
whatever, like,
which
you,
I think for all intents and purposes we can extrapolate
right
like,
exactly.
as well
exactly
yeah
yeah. And so, like, obviously that was probably their intention, they were just thinking about aliens, but there's immediately just like the homoerotic and sort of like queer undertones like pulsing through everything. And the fact that it also started from like an outfit, I think, is like, you know what I mean? Like they wanted to give Spider-Man like a cool fit, and
that's
it started
so
out as like an outfit change. Like that feels already a little bit queer.
Oh my God, Jordan.
I'm just saying.
Jordan.
So it's like, you
oh
know.
Oh my God.
Am I right? But it's sort of like just from the beginning of time has just always been about like finding an emotional partner for this alien being to find a symbiote. So like it is literally just like I was just combing through comics and everything, and it is really about that. And like Peter finds like his more like hyper masculinity, whatever. When
right.
He's
more aggro.
Right.
He's
exactly.
Like
he's like
more
the
of a
better
douchebag.
Version of him. Like I'm
yeah.
tough. I'm cool. I'm like a ladies' man.
Yes.
But like,
that's I can
not
dance.
Who Peter is, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I don't know. It's just interesting to see how the character started out. And I think from the beginning, it's like baked in. This is sort of like a Batman thing, or just like all these queer superheroes that we've talked about before. It's like ultimately at the end of the day, it's like a person wearing latex, and it's like impossible to overlook that. And I think it's even more interesting with Venom because it is so much about like a relationship between like thing and like person.
Right. And yeah. like, I love the term symbiotic relationship is obviously does not
right.
just apply to this, but I love that like they're called symbiotes. It
literally,
is, like,
it's so on the nose.
Literally about having a symbiotic relationship. And it's like the great sort of like, we make each other better, but we're doing bad things.
Right.
But like,
right.
it's really improving both of our lives. Like, it's like
yes.
that. It's the shit that you know that I personally love, even though
yes.
this is like the goofiest version
right.
of it.
And it's
but
like Carnage is like that
we
too.
Could be great together.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like all of these characters like take the elements of the people and like heighten them or whatever, but it's like they have to find it. And it's interesting with Venom because it's like he started out such as a villain, but then they were like, like what if an anti-hero?
Right.
And so they start to sort of go that route. And they'll have things where he's like an anti-hero and like will do heroic things. But then I love with Carnage where they're basically just like, it's a serial killer and he gets more serial killery. So it's just, you know what I mean? It's just like, of course, sure. But it is that thing where it's like an unhealthy relationship
mm-hmm.
ultimately, but also like it is kind of healthy because like they both help each other. And like Venom protects Eddie and Eddie like helps Venom like ultimately understand what's going on Earth. Like he's an alien, he doesn't know what's going on, you know?
Yeah, here's the thing about queer relationships that are also unhealthy relationships, and I'm sure that I've said this before on mic, but this is like my favorite thing is that like I think if you're doing a toxic relationship but it's between like two queer people, it lets it be like equally toxic
right.
in like a really good way that I think like milks more out of your characters and also out of your themes, because like 99 out of 100 times in like a toxic heterosexual relationship, it's like all about these power dynamics that are like never really going to work out the way that you want. Obviously there are exceptions to the rule. Gone Girl comes to mind, but like it's much more difficult to actually get fulfillment out of your characters and for the audience to sort of like enjoy the more fun aspects of a toxic relationship on
right,
screen
right.
obviously
right oh yeah it's not like we're saying these are good things.
Look, I have to say it because
I
you
was
know
just
that
gonna
I have
say,
to say
I literally because on Twitter I'm like people are gonna be like, wow, look at these people supporting that Venom toxic relationship, and it's like no, but it's an interesting story
from a character perspective and from like what I like to see on screen. That
right.
is like my favorite kind of tension, is like these people fuck each other up, but like you can tell that there's something
right.
really great and compelling there.
Like, why? Yeah, like all our these fucking movies, like they don't need to be these moral stories, or like as we were saying, like
never.
All your queer characters don't need to be like these like goody two shoes who do nothing wrong. Like, we don't necessarily need that in everything. And I think that's
yes.
what I find, as we were saying, it's like interesting about this. It's like, how toxic is this? Is this fun to watch? You know, like, am I enjoying this movie? Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all that fucking matters.
I'm having a great time. And like, this is the best example of like a toxic relationship because it's hilarious. And like,
yes.
obviously people are getting hurt, but no one is really getting emotionally hurt.
Except the guy whose head was rolling down.
That doesn't count.
No,
it's like
no,
the
no,
nice
I
guys
agree.
Where it's like a lot of people died. Yeah, but you know, I think they died quickly.
Right,
so
yeah.
they didn't really get hurt.
Yeah.
There's bodies piling up, but no one is actually getting emotionally
yes.
fucked over,
I
which
agree.
Is really what's important.
Except
here.
Like Mrs. Chen, maybe. Like, Hershey's just constantly being robbed. It's poor, like, Mrs. girl. Trent.
I hope that she gets an arc in Venom, Let There Be Carnage, because we know she's in it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Like,
my
queen. I want her to roll up and do something cool.
She's great.
Deserves.
She becomes, like, another Venom whatever character. That'd be great. The Venom names also, just, like, for saying, like, the symbiote names are so funny. Like, they become, like, Screama and Riot. Like, this one, Riot, Lasher, Agony, Carnage. It's just, like, they're so on the nose, but, like, it's fun. Like, in the new movie, I think it's, like, Screama or someone. The woman who's in the
Naomi
trailer.
Naomi Harris, right?
Oh, it is? I don't even know. Sure, let's double down on it.
Do you know what her character name is, like, in the comics? Because I can look up who Naomi Harris is supposed to be playing in Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Because I know, basically, she has, like, scream powers, where she, like, screams and breaks stuff, I believe.
She's playing Shriek.
Shriek, that's what it was.
There you go.
Because
I saw the new poster that they released today,
and
I was like,
she's on it.
Naomi Harris?
I know.
Girl.
I'm excited.
I mean, you know, I'm sure she'll absolutely kill it.
Right.
She just deserves better, you know?
Hey. Masterpiece alert. Anyways, with this character, though,
yes,
as we were saying, it's like, as we, like, he immediately pops big. Like, the 90s Spider-Man cartoon is, like, one of the most popular things ever. Venom has, like, a very big arc on that.
Okay.
Voiced by Hank Azaria at the time.
Oh, wow.
I know, it was wild. Sure.
Wow.
I remember having, like, seen it because I watched that show later in life when I was, like, in my Batman, the animated series, X-Men, whatever phase.
Of course.
But it's, like, so interesting that even from back then and everything, they'd been trying to determine, like, what tone to make the Venom movie. Like, Josh Trank gets brought on at one point when they're trying to make it in,
boo,
like, 2009.
Piss.
And he wants to make it, like, a dark and gritty, like, very hard R.
Wow, so surprising.
I know. They wanted to then, like, with the Amazing Spider-Man 2, that was basically trying to set the groundwork for, like, the Sinister, like, 6 movie, and they wanted to introduce Venom for that. And they were going to have Ed Solomon write with Alex Kurtzman directing, and that didn't go. So there was just, like, constant ones, but it was constantly about, like, Venom being, like, gritty and dark.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to see how, like, some of that bleeds into this. But then that pivot that they're making, I think that Hardy either makes and or somewhere along the line, maybe it's not Ruben Fleischer's directing, but, like, there's something in there that is funny, and the way that the community reacts immediately makes Carnage look funny. It's like, I think they're recognizing that they can't do the hard R serious, that it's not what I think we as, like, a people want anymore from our horror superhero movies, and what this character dictates, because I think there is an inherent queerness and there's a camp and, like, goofiness to him.
Yeah, I think that, like, I've said it a million times about Batman, but, like,
when it comes to
this kind of stuff, you need to go camp as opposed to going totally serious.
Yes.
And there can be, like, a relationship between the two that I think that people don't understand that.
Right.
But, like, I absolutely love how on the surface this movie is supposed to be, like, a dark, gritty film. Like, that's what all the marketing showed. That's what the poster showed. Like, that is what everyone was expecting. I don't even really know why I went to see this.
I don't either. Well, I know why I went to see it, obviously.
You go see
everything. Do you remember where you saw it?
I saw it, I think, at the AMC Universal.
I was trying to figure, because I usually remember where I saw it, and I don't remember where I, like, I remember seeing it. I remember, like, sort of where I sat, but I can't fucking pin the theater because it washed out of my brain. Like, that was my experience with it.
The movie was just so
literally
all-consuming.
I mean, for you, what was your relationship? Because I feel like, I think it's fascinating how, like, Twitter and, like, online discourse about this movie, I think, has changed. And I think since release to today has sort of pivoted. I think, like, between the Carnage information and between this movie's, like with the lobster scene circulating around and everything, like, I feel like people have a somewhat, not appreciation, but, like, dark interest in the movie.
People like this movie.
Right. But, like, I feel like when it came out, everyone was like, fuck this, I hate this movie.
Famously to the two of us, gave this movie 1 star on Letterboxd when I saw it the first time. But I think it's because, like, you know that I have absolutely no,
like, why
emotional
would you like this?
Relationship to DC. So I was like,
Marvel.
I was in oh, sorry, to Marvel. I just, this just feels so much like part of the DC universe.
The goop and the CG and everything, yeah.
And the dark, gritty. Yeah. Okay, two superheroes.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, that was crazy. But I will say, at no point was I like, Tom Hardy was giving a bad performance. Mm. I was like, I was kind of into what Tom Hardy was doing, but like, that was just a disaster. Like, right, what was right. that? And then I have to give you like the Tumblr version of events because here I was not embroiled in what Twitter thought about this movie. Yes. But I feel like it probably started a week after the movie came out and I like started seeing Eddie and Venom fan art.
I think you're talking about Simbrock.
Simbrock, one of the best ship names in history.
An incredible name.
It's so good. Like, it's great.
It's the most used ship, Brooke.
What is
Simbrock
it?
On Tumblr, like the most... week after this movie came out.
Yeah. I believe insane. It. Like, people are obsessed. Surprisingly, there's not that many fanfics. I'm on our good old
there it is
website archive of our own.
We love to see it.
Only 4,000, almost 4,400, almost 4,400.
Okay, that's not that much.
Not that many, but there's a lot of fan art. So like, take that what you will. And there's a lot of like Tumblr content. Mm. But I saw so much of it, and I was like, I guess, yeah.
Like, do I ship
it
them?
It was kind of a romantic movie, and then like the more it went on, the more I was like,
I guess it
the
is.
The possibilities are endless. Yeah. So let me just, because I want to hear how you felt.
No, I love this. Yes.
This, but let me just, as self-proclaimed shipping expert on the pod,
toot,
let me run down a couple things that are exciting to the shipping community about this pairing. One, they're both disasters. That's like
of
classic.
Of course.
Internet loves when people are incompetent.
Two messes.
And they don't realize that they're in love with each other.
Quick question. Is this the worst Tom Hardy has ever looked?
No, because he looks kind of great
in some scenes.
In like
but
that
like,
sleep deprived.
Some of the makeup is like wild. I was like, wow, Tom Hardy, you are looking awful.
Like, I kind of like when he's like,
are you like attracted to it?
Right after he doesn't know what's going on and he's like,
oh,
all sweaty.
No,
I'm personally not attracted to it, but
I
think
can
that,
see people on the internet.
Yes.
It's people who are like, oh, I love my sweaty white pale
boy. I like someone that looks like I should feed them soup.
I need to nourish them.
yes
that
kind of
understood
thing.
Yes.
But yes, so they're both disasters. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a plus. Tom Hardy, absolutely a plus.
Yes.
I hate to mention this on mic, but it's
say
so
it.
Prevalent that I think it has to be mentioned.
Say it.
The whole like tentacle business.
I had a note of that.
Yes. Is very interesting.
It's like oily
people.
And
not me.
Like,
let's just say there's a lot of possibilities.
Yes. No. Yep.
I'm gonna leave it at that.
Yeah.
And then also,
it's
like
big,
we said,
goopy.
It's this. Ew, oh God. It's like this toxic symbiotic relationship.
Right.
And I also think the fact that like one of them is literally inside the other also offers
fellas,
a lot
is
of
it gay to occupy your bro's
options.
Body?
Fellas, is it gay to literally be inside another man?
Fellas, is it gay to not share any secrets or to share all
to
of
share
your secrets?
All your secrets.
Oh my God.
So yes,
yeah.
We can see the makeup happening.
Yeah,
and I swear to God, and I will never get this image out of my mind. But there's like at least one canon Venom comic.
Yes, there is.
Where they have
an
sex.
Arc. Yeah. Well, there's a whole arc about like Venom basically like learning to accept like his love of Eddie.
Yeah.
And like Eddie of Venom.
And then it culminates in them getting
fucking.
Each other off.
Well, that's the thing is it's like the fan art in the community has like been there.
Don't look
for
at the fan
Venom
art. Listen,
and
I would just like to say to the listeners, if
do
you
not.
Value your eyes, do not
Brooke
search
is saying,
fan
go
art
on to DeviantArt
of this
search
pairing.
For Venom Simbrock shipping.
No one uses DeviantArt anymore.
DeviantArt was popping back in the day.
Oh, you know it was popping.
I would lurk on DeviantArt occasionally.
Oh, I'm so proud.
Would you? I'm
well,
sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, yeah.
But like, that's not really your style.
No. But
what
like,
what would you lurk?
I would
of?
Go on to find like gaming photos and like movie, like if it's like a character who I wanted to see doing like a certain fuck. I'm such a fucking loser.
No,
I was,
this
like,
is great.
I want to see like Robin, but like doing so, like, you know, like I would try to find like photos of like characters I liked,
I
but that were like cooler. And so I would go into DeviantArt and see a lot more than I went
That's
on
the thing
for.
Is that DeviantArt, like, you can't really filter it. It just all hits your eyeballs.
Yes.
It's okay. There is a period of time. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm about to
this
admit
is important.
This. Oh God. Okay. Well, I really
this
just
is
have
the Eddie
anything.
Brock show, and you have to. It's sorry.
You have to
it's
tell the truth.
The Eddie
it's
Brock
not
program. I wrote this down because it actually they have two. The fucking movie has both titles, but then they refer to only one of them later. It's the Eddie Brock Report.
Yes.
But in the first slug line, they have the Eddie Brock Show, but then it changes to the Eddie Brock Report.
The Eddie Brock Report is much better because he's a journalist.
Yes,
he's not a
I
late
know,
night talk show.
But they
show
had
host.
Show. I swear to God, it's either that or I'm going crazy, which is probably the answer. But they had show, I think, in one of the. The
slug lines. Yeah. When it's
like
his
Chiron
little,
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. His little package.
Yeah. The journalist friends, I'm sorry.
Anyway, oh god, now you have to make me talk about it again. Okay, so DeviantArt.
Yes.
And I was not
You're
involved
logging on.
In this. I just want to say for the record, I did
You're
not
making the fanfic.
Have a
you were
foot
drawing it.
In this fandom
She's
at all.
Doodling
but
it right now.
There was a period of time when my younger sister was very invested in My Little Pony, and I had Jordan's eyes just like popped out of their sockets. I had heard through the Tumblr grapevine that like a lot of people did like humanize like My Little Pony versions, and I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting, like I wonder, like, you know, I'll just like look it up on DeviantArt. Big mistake. End of conversation. So Venom 2018. Jordan, would you like to tell the listeners about your experience
watching
this
movie? No, let's end the app. Yeah, I mean, like, it's weird. I had a similar watch where I was sitting somewhat close to the screen on the right-hand side. Like, I fucking know the seat. I just can't place the theater, which is so strange for me.
I'm sorry.
It's going to drive me crazy. But I remember like walking in, and I had like the serious trailers had kind of turned me off of it because it looked weird how dark and gritty they were going. And I was like, why haven't they learned their lesson from Spider-Man 3 where they tried to make Venom like serious and everything? And it was like, fine. I walked out and I was like, that wasn't good. I respect Tom Hardy. That was weird. I'm not sure if I'm sure what he did. The scene where he makes out with Venom, that's a little strange too. But like, that was it. And then I think just like as the years have gone by since 2018, I've just like stewed and like sat in the symbiotic bodily fluids and have like learned to really love Tom Hardy. It's like how I learned to love Tom Hardy's performance in Venom and now view it as Oscar worthy. Like rewatching it, it is beyond impressive the amount of shenanigans that he's throwing at the wall.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's doing Venom's voice is recording all
the
lines
the
beforehand.
Oh.
Everything about it just works. And it's really like a dynamic performance. And like, he's really fucking hilarious. Like, it's really funny. And I can't say, obviously, as I was saying, like, it's not a perfect movie, but like, I've learned to really like respect it. It's just so funny to like think about this movie, I guess, like existing in all superhero movies, because it weirdly, at least Hardy's performance feels like the most loose that I think any character has been in such a long time. Like, he feels so not constrained to like the machinery of everything, where it's like, this has to happen and you have to do this and this has to show this and like, this is an Easter egg for this, where it's just sort of like he's improvising, literally improvising on set, and it's like having fun. And like, I kind of missed when like superhero movies or whatever like had that sort of like fun angle to it.
I think this is very much an outlier, and like has been outlier for a while.
Like,
even
like Venom and Eddie, they're just two losers.
Like, even you look at the more like fun, like there's been like a great like OG Spider-Man renaissance.
Yeah. The Raimi-sance.
Yes. Oh, so good. The Raimi-sance is upon us, especially considering you know, the release
No Way
of
Home.
The No
or
Way
not-
Home trailer. Yeah. Yeah. But like, even those movies, even though they're much more fun, you get the sense that they're very structured. Like, even all the weird shit that Tobey Maguire's doing, you're like, yeah, this was a decision from the outset.
Right.
And like, I truly don't, I want to believe that Tom Hardy just showed up on set and he was like, all right, listen up, motherfuckers. I'm the only thing holding this movie together.
Yes,
like,
yes.
I'm going to do whatever I want and it's going to be great. Just
the
trust
lobster
the process.
Thing was improv.
I know that was, but I think, So
he said he wanted to do it and they had to build a tank to then that he could do it and so he could eat the lobster. Yes. Yeah.
They,
but
like, he did not
for
actually
him
eat.
Being on set to be like, I'm
want
going
in
to
that
do
tank.
This, right, is like, that's like the energy yes. that like we need. You know, anywhere like an actor showing up and is like, I'm going to do that. Cool. It's, and like the director to be like, you know what? Sure.
Yeah. It's the little things in his performance for me. Like him slamming those tater tots.
Oh my God. I wrote in all caps, he eats cold tater tots. It's so funny.
Like, that is so good. I love, like, his, when Venom appears in the mirror the first time and he gives, like, an extremely high-pitched scream. I think that's
Eddie!
So, like, it's so funny. It's so good.
All the lines,
it's the little
too,
things.
Literally, like, the dumb throwaway lines that even Eddie will say where he's like, I can be a woman. Have you seen Tootsie? Like, things like that where I'm like, this is funny.
Yeah.
And then it like cuts to the self-serious stuff. And I'm like, no, you had it. Like, what are you doing? And I think, honest to God, weirdly, it might actually, like, I'm looking at Ruben Fleischer's directing and stuff. So Reese and Wernick, right? I want to say are the writers. They were originally brought on in 2008 and they wrote a draft.
Whoa.
And so they wrote Zombieland, which he directed. And I will say I enjoy Zombieland. I think Zombieland's a fun movie.
I think it's fun,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's a bomb. I actually kind of like Zombieland Double Tap too, which is weird.
Yeah, I had a fun time.
Right. And it's like, I won't say that I love Gangster Squad. Maybe Gangster Squad is one of the biggest disappointments I've ever had in a movie because I thought it was going to become my identity from that trailer.
Let's all just be glad that that didn't happen.
Oh, we are very glad.
Even in terms of if it had been a masterpiece. Like,
it had
let's
so
all
much
just
going for it, though. When it had like Gosling and Brolin and Stone and Giovanni Ribisi, I was like, oh, these are my guys at the moment.
Oh, God,
I know. But it's like a period gangster movie. I was like, great.
Yeah,
anyways,
look, we all love
Hollywood.
A period gangster
we love,
movie.
But I think weirdly, like, Zombieland has enough crossover, somewhat humor, where you can see, like, that's maybe why the comedy bits land better than the serious bits do.
Yes. And it seems like, so Jeff Pinkner and Scott Rosenberg were the duo that were brought on.
Yeah.
And so then there's another screenwriter credited, Kelly Marcel, and yes. she writes more serious movies. So right. Extrapolating, you would assume they brought her on to sort of like tighten it up a little bit and like
maybe
do
give
some
Michelle
world
Williams
building
some work.
Yes, like maybe. But she wrote like Saving Mr. Banks and like
right.
50 Shades of Grey and like these very like self-serious things.
Yeah.
So I think that is probably where like a little bit of the disconnect comes. I don't think that this is Riz Ahmed's fault at all. I also, he's never done anything wrong in his life and I love him.
My favorite part is when Riz Ahmed starts to fight Tom Hardy without the Venom suits for either of them, and Riz Ahmed like holds his own, and I think he maybe could, but Tom Hardy would eat him like a snack.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Riz Ahmed's a pretty little guy, but
it's like when like Jesse Eisenberg tries to fight like Batman. I'm like, no.
But you saw Sound of Metal. He's like,
right. No, he's ripped.
He's feisty.
It's just
hot
Tom
man.
Hardy is just like
a brick,
a bruiser. Yeah,
yes.
You like punch Tom Hardy and it's like punching a wall,
a refrigerator.
Literally, yes.
You break your hand.
When he throws, this movie does one of my arguably favorite things that any action movie can do, and it's using another human body as a weapon.
Oh,
when
yes.
he starts spinning and hitting people with the body, I don't know any better gag.
Yeah.
It's the best.
It's a good gag. I can't lie. But I think my point was that
yes,
I don't
sorry.
Think that it's Riz Ahmed's fault that like the self-serious parts don't really work because he's
no.
doing what he was hired
right,
to
exactly.
do to
yeah.
bring the gravitas. Like,
right.
I get it. It's
no,
not his
totally.
Fault. I just want to say.
I love the scene where he is like with the little girl and he's just like, no, you get this pin.
Yeah,
you're gonna do things,
you're in charge.
I'm like,
bye.
Cool. Great.
Yeah. he's good
look. I mean, he never isn't good.
He never misses.
No.
Yeah, I like his outfit when they give him like
a good fit.
The suit jacket
with
quarter
like,
zip
the thing
under it.
Yeah,
yeah, that's,
yeah,
a classic.
That's a good look.
Yeah, you know who I feel the worst for in this movie though is Jenny Slate, because Jenny Slate is so fun,
wildly miscast
and so funny, and it's not like she does a bad job at all.
It's just
but
she's a comedic actress.
You're like, you hire Jenny Slate and you're giving her nothing to do and she's so good.
Like, I want her to have a symbiote so we see her and Venom interact. Like, yeah, that sounds fun to
me. That sounds great. She's just, she deserves way more than this, like, nothing part that, like, doesn't have anything. There are a weird amount of comedy actors, though, because Reed Scott, who plays Dr. Dan from... famously known from Veep, and which a show in which he's amazing, also is kind of just like the guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, these.
And like, it's kind of insane that also really Michelle Williams is in this, which always blows my mind. Like, rewatching it's it, I know Michelle Williams is in this.
Yeah.
But wild. But also, she's really funny and like should do more comedy roles because like she's the best part of I Feel Pretty, arguably, right?
Oh, yeah. She's amazing in that
and
movie.
And like, my girl, like, she's. Oh, like her, God, her career is so fucking weird.
It's so
she has such a weird career.
I feel like she got all of like the prestige roles sort of like out of the way.
You know what year this comes out after?
The year after.
Fucking Manchester by the Sea.
Right, 2017.
She gets her Manchester nom and then does Venom.
And then does Venom.
That's like wild.
She's always great.
Yes. Oh, never misses.
If there's ever a movie in which you think Michelle Williams isn't doing enough, it's because it's a shitty female character they didn't bother to develop.
Didn't give
and
her
she's
enough space.
Hella overqualified. Right. Like this movie, I would argue.
Yes.
And it's like, but why is she doing this movie?
It's so funny. No, I know. It's wild.
I don't know.
It's wild. I am curious to see what they do with her in two.
Yeah, oh my God. I know. I hope they let her do like everything.
Yeah.
Because she can do it all.
She can do it all.
But I think that this was still, I feel like the 2020-2021 like gut punch has sort of cooled everyone on these big IP grabs. But I think that like 2018 was still in the heyday of being like
everyone's attaching to something.
Thing
yes.
has some pre-existing IP you could make like 8 figures
I agree.
Off of 3 scenes.
Yeah.
So
I mean she probably did.
Yeah, good for her. This movie
right.
made
I mean the money movie made money,
a
right?
lot of yeah. money. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. No, I'm sure she made a bank.
So like good for her.
Yeah.
But I do think
I mean, honestly, probably same for fucking Jenny Slate.
I know. But it's like this is the period of time when you just have insanely overqualified people in everything.
Right.
But now I think of stuff like the Mortal Kombat movie has nobody
like no one's,
in
yeah.
it. Or I mean I guess honestly Godzilla versus Kong was a little overqualified. But like things
Godzilla
like that.
Kong had hitters. Yeah.
Alexander Skarsgard, like dude.
Right. I love.
Sir.
Great.
But that kind of stuff. Yeah. Sally Hawkins and Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Kills it.
What?
Remember when that movie has Boston get destroyed?
Yeah.
That was great. Love that.
Crazy.
It's wild that Tom Hardy also only took this role because of like the limited avail that he had for a beat and then also that he did it for his son.
Oh, is his son a big Marvel
like Venom
fan?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so
which
sweet.
Is so cute. He wanted to do something that his son could see. But it's also wild because this feels like something that Tom Hardy would come in with. Do you know what I mean? Like I feel like he's the kind of guy who would find an IP and come in and be like, I want like I could see Tom Hardy going into Sony Venom voice and go, I have a pitch for you, and then being like fucking legend style, be like, oh, what's that? It's me, Tom Hardy. And then be like, oh, it's me, Venom. You know what I mean? Like,
oh
that's
God.
How I could see him doing it. But the fact that he was sort of just hired is so fascinating to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom Hardy is so fascinating to me.
He's incredible.
The roles he picks, sort of like what he does as like.
Should
a
we
person.
Talk about like the lead up to this movie for him? Because I think it's insane.
Yes.
So he has, as we have discussed, Inception in 2010. Then he has Tinker Tailor, where he's like kind of, you know, in it. But then Warrior, I think, is his like next big role. He's like co-lead in that with Joel, right?
Yes.
Then you get This Means War, co-lead again. Ugh. The Dark Knight Rises, villain. Lawless, sort of secondary.
Yeah.
You have Locke, a small indie, you know, lead.
But a great
incredible performance,
film.
But
yes.
like doesn't really do anything. The Drop. Doesn't really exist.
That
Child 44
does
doesn't
not
really exist.
Mad Max
Fury Road. Then you get, but arguably, like him being the lead in that is like a co-lead with Charlize.
Okay,
if
but can,
not, she's the lead.
Can we?
Yes.
First of all, he was pitched as a lead.
Yes,
I will say.
No, oh for sure.
I think that with Mad Max Fury Road, regardless of what that movie actually is, it's billed as his movie.
Yes, I agree. No, so, he's like the lead.
But can we talk about his 2015 real quick?
That's what I was going
okay.
to. Yes, okay.
We're on the same page.
Yes.
I didn't want you to
no.
barrel through 2015 because he was in 5 movies.
Yes.
In 2015.
With Mad Max Fury Road, though, that's a movie that's not sold on the star. I think it's like sold on him. It's sold on like the, but it's sold on the action. You're going to see Mad Max Fury Road to see a Mad Max movie. And like you watch the trailer for Mad Max and you're like, oh, I'm going to see that. You're not going to be like, oh, Tom Hardy, I'm going to see that. You're seeing that because I have never seen a movie that looks like this in my life before.
Yeah, and it's the IP, for lack of a better term. It's the franchise.
Exactly. And so that, like, but that obviously, like, launches him. Then he's London Road. What were you pumped about the Revenant and Legend back-to-back?
I just can't believe that he has Mad Max, Legend, and the Revenant all come out in 2015.
Yes.
That is absolutely
wild,
crazy.
Has Legend with the greatest poster of all time.
Yes,
the
with the
hidden two stars,
two-star review.
Yes.
And also, I didn't know that he was an executive producer on Legend. It makes sense since that is just Tom Hardy in the movie, and he's also an executive producer on
Venom, which is with Legend is where I think he probably gets his shingle and starts to actually start to bring in IP and start to want to produce stuff for himself, which is where you sort of get. I feel like this next part of his career is going to be going.
It's because he's starting to like produce more. Obviously,
he had, like, Taboo, right? The show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he obviously he's in Dunkirk, going back to the Nolan well. And then he's in Capone as
Capone.
Al Capone. Yes. And like that's like his big like transformative performance or whatever. And
did you know that he produced that Dark A Christmas Carol show?
I did know that.
Isn't that wild?
But the thing is, yeah, it's crazy. He co-created Taboo, which he stars in, and he was an executive producer. So like he has the chops.
It's wild.
And he's a trained theater actor. So, and then this is honestly the craziest thing for me, even though this movie is not out yet, is that not only is he credited as a full on producer in Venom, Let There Be Carnage, but he also has a co-story.
Have you
credit?
Read about this? Where he basically pitched the story for Venom 2. He, like, brought the idea to the studio for Venom 2.
You crazy man.
Yes, I know. That's why I'm so jazzed about it, because it feels like he knows. Like, I think he knows now, like, what's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so what all that was saying is that Tom Hardy has an insane career. And this movie is, like, the apex of his, like, popularity, I think. And it, like, really just sends him, like, into the upper echelon, right? Like, because even in Dunkirk, like, he's a lead, but he's not like with
not
Dunkirk, you're not
much.
Watching Dunkirk and you're being like, oh, cool,
oh,
Tom Hardy. And he's
movie.
Hidden behind a mask with Bane, hidden behind a mask. So it's like all these
Mad
things
Max.
Keep putting it literally. Like, my guy was hiding his beautiful lips and his acting. Like,
those lips.
He is maybe the greatest eye actor. So,
Yeah, he's got great facial expressions.
He does.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, his lips are just like out of this world. It's just crazy.
Yes.
Like, it's crazy.
No, it is. It is.
If you want to Google something that isn't all of the horrible things that we mentioned,
do not
definitely
Google Simbrock.
Simbrock, but you should definitely Google Tom Hardy lips. Although I would
also
I would
be
wager
warned
that there's
about
a,
that as well.
A fair amount of overlap between the
two.
Yes,
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think this goes with this movie is like so much of it is almost overqualified. Like you have Maddie Libatique DPing.
He DP'd this?
Which is the same year as A Star is Born. It's
crazy.
Wild. It's just a wild. This movie is so. I think our brains are a little melted because this movie is just weird and it's like hard to necessarily pin down. At least for me, it's like because I love so much of the camp of it. But then I'm also like I recognize so much that's like weird. But like there's so many good people behind it and so much like weird like care.
Yeah.
Ish.
I don't. That's
not
the,
care.
That's
it's
the thing,
not
though.
More.
No.
I don't even know what you already do. But it's like I respect
I think it's a happy accident.
Yeah.
I have to tell you. Yeah. I think that this movie was designed to be quippy and fun with a bout of serious world building.
Yeah.
And along the way got Frankensteined into this deranged thing.
Got venomized.
Like, it's a bad movie, but it's also kind of a masterpiece. I think it's the only way to talk about it. I don't think it was intentional. Like, I do think that Tom Hardy is, like, giving it his all.
For
rightfully.
Sure. Yeah.
And, like, I think that this is probably what he hoped to come out of it. But I think that this movie just kind of accidentally ended up being like bananas.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is.
No, you're
that's
right.
That's just how it is. I think that we never really like properly talked about it, but we touched on it. People now kind of love this movie because it's so weird.
Yes.
And so I think there's a ton of hype for the sequel, because the sequel also seems to be embracing like whatever the fuck
they're letting there be
this
carnage
movie was
famously. Yes,
yes, yes,
yes.
And it looks fun.
I agree. I think it looks like every time I watch the trailer in a theater, I want to clap because it's so fun. When Woody Harrelson is like, Eddie, we belong together, or whatever his line is, and then they basically tongue Eddie and Carnage. Yeah. Like, the movie looks like it knows what it's going for. And the song that they use where they're one is the loneliest number. Like, they know.
They know.
And so we're talking a lot about Carnage. We're talking about letting there be Carnage. We should just let people know.
Yes.
That this upcoming Sunday,
mm-hmm.
Brooke, what are we letting out?
We're letting there be Carnage.
Oh,
there's
going to
be some Carnage. Yes.
Is there a Sunday bonus episode? Is that what you're saying?
There's going to be a motherfucking Sunday bonus episode. Ooh, on Venom.
Two Venoms for the price of one Carnage.
You know that we couldn't let you get away with just one Venom.
Absolutely not.
But so
symbiotes are taking over.
Never fear. That's coming. And yes. There you go. We'll talk about it more at the end of the episode.
We'll come back to it later. But
just know. If you were worried, fear not.
If you were wondering if we would let there be Carnage, we will.
There's definitely going to be some Carnage. And I really hope that it's another rom-com. And I hope it's a love triangle. Rom-com.
Oh, that'd be so cute.
Between Venom and Eddie and Carnage.
Can I just say that this movie sort of posits Venom wanting a throuple?
Yeah, he does.
He's like, I love Michelle Williams. You love Michelle Williams. I love you. You love me.
Yes.
What if we all just get married?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah?
Yeah. And he also wants Eddie to be happy.
Right.
You know?
Which is... Ooh, cute.
So cute.
We'll dig into that.
I think we can dig into it right now.
Yes. I have one other thing before, just on I have two story Venom notes that will set the table a little bit.
All right.
One, as someone who now is familiar with Bane yourself because you watched the Harley show.
Yes.
Which has the Bane, the kind of classic, but Bane uses a thing called Venom to Hulk out.
Yes.
And like, it's the serum, and there's like that weird crossover where like Venom essentially just like helps everyone Hulk out. And I was only thinking of that because I was watching the Harley show literally the night before watching this, and I was like, oh my god, so much Venom crossover. Two,
and bonus Tom Hardy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh,
look at all the Venom
for you.
Oh,
okay. What was the other thing?
The two comics that it's based off are Venom, Lethal Protector, and Planet of the Symbiotes, which basically Planet of the Symbiotes is why it's set in San Francisco, but it's my favorite premise where Venom and Spider-Man agree to no longer fight each other, and Spider-Man will not, you know, go after Venom if Venom just goes to San Francisco and promises not to hurt anybody.
That's so fucking funny. That's such a Spider-Man arc though, because he's such a cutie. He's like, if you promise not to hurt anyone, you just go to the West Coast.
Right, like
fine.
Things will be fine. Yeah, and then of course, like fucking Carnage gets unleashed. Not literal Carnage, but like it becomes a mess. But like Venom moves in with mole people.
What?
Yes. God. Yeah, and there's the whole like Life Foundation stuff. But yeah, but the reason I say is because it's the funniest thing where he's just like, I'm gonna go. I'll BRB, just going to San Fran. I'll see you later, Daily Bugle. Bye.
It's really weird that it's set in San Francisco.
I kind of love it.
I love it. I forgot, probably because I don't know anything about Marvel, but I like fully forgot where Eddie was supposed to be from.
In
so
New
Tom
York.
Hardy started talking and I was like, what is he doing?
Right,
is this accent? Why doesn't he have a normal American accent?
Yes, agreed.
And his New York accent, it's not that it's bad. It's actually pretty good.
It's a good accent.
But you're just like...
But it's a choice.
It's a capital C choice.
I can't wait until he and Tom Holland are acting against each other in whatever... We know it's
coming. In 2025.
They're building up to it. We know it's going to come. Like, Sony and Marvel, like, I'm guessing it was contractually in the deal, like, their renegotiation, that Venom had to meet Spidey. We're getting all these multiverses. They're setting this up. Fucking Vulture's in Morbius.
Right. Oh, he is?
He is, yes.
Played by Michael Keaton,
yes. He's in the Jared Leto Morbius movie. Yes, I know. Brooke's face is shook. Did you not see the trailer?
I guess not.
Yeah, it's wild.
Michael Keaton... Man.
Well, it's because the MCU, they're trying to like build everything together.
Of course,
I
understand, but like, oh god, this is why this slope is so slippery. If you can get into one Marvel movie,
would you say it's symbiote-y?
Yeah, like you go from
being like, oh, I'll, you know, I played Batman. It would be cool if I played like a version of like a villainous superhero. And then all of a sudden you're starring in fucking Morbius.
I'm sure it's like a cameo, but still.
I know, but see, he had to show up. He had to put on the costume.
He had to stand across from Jared Leto.
He was like, put me in a green screen room. I do not want to see him.
I'm recording from home.
I'll be on Zoom in the outfit.
Zack Snyder, come to my
9
house.
9 a.m.
Anyways,
they're
what
building up
say,
the crossover.
I want to see Tom Holland and Tom Hardy against each other, two Brits trying to do American accents. And it's like, Tom Hardy's like, hey, kid, it's me. I'm Venom. And Tom Holland's like, oh, Mr. Holland.
Mr. Holland,
it's me.
I hate your Tom Holland impression. So
oh,
terrible.
No, it's Venom. Ah!
Oh, I'm going to eat that kid like a pancreas.
Oh, I'm sorry. Should I step out since you're doing the Jordan Gustafson show?
Oh, no.
Clearly, I don't need to be here.
Oh, I'm Spider-Man.
Boo. Sorry. Everyone has turned off the podcast app.
I love Tom Hardy Spider-Man. I just think it's funny because they both are acting in completely different worlds. Like the deck, like it's just going to be so bizarre.
I would love to see it.
Me too.
You know who gives a good unhinged MCU villain performance against Tom Holland that is very
Jake
much
Gyllenhaal?
In the zone? Jakey G.
Yes, yes. I think Jake Gyllenhaal and Tom Hardy exist in the same world where they both just like making choices.
They're super hot guys who just want to be weirdos on screen.
Yes.
And they have been given a platform to do so.
Yeah.
And that's great for
Jake
them.
Jake Gyllenhaal in the John Mulaney and the Sack Bunch.
Lunch Crunch.
That is a performance that haunts me to this day.
I love that performance so much. I think it's a masterpiece, and I think it's so insane that he committed that hard, and I don't even know how he and John Mulaney know each other.
I'm sure famous person knows everyone. Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's a choice. Yeah,
I love Jake Gyllenhaal so much.
It's so good.
Less so now that we found out that he doesn't shower. That was crazy.
That's every celebrity.
That was
though.
A crazy week on
that
Twitter.
That was a wild week.
I think we talked about it on.
Do you know
maybe we didn't.
Who looks like they don't shower though? Is
Eddie Brock
in this movie?
He looks like shit.
He looks disgusting. He has so many. Are those Tom Hardy's actual tattoos or are those for the movie?
I think they're probably his actual tattoos.
That's what I was thinking too.
He's a bad dude, and I mean that in a good way. You know what I mean?
Do you think the bracelets are also his, or do you think that's for the movie?
Absolutely.
I agree.
He probably showed up in his clothes and they were like, yes. Oh, did you already go to wardrobe? And he was like, oh no, I just got off my bike. And they're like, oh, you have a bike? That's
what do you
perfect.
Mean wardrobe? I like that his bike has an X across the fucking headlight to look more hardcore. It's like gaff tape that was like taped across it.
This is like the best version of like a quote unquote dark movie because like it's so ridiculous mm-hmm. that no one is taking anything seriously.
They cut to the Eddie Brock report and it's so funny. The clips, he's like, hey guys, it's me, Eddie Brock here. And oh, look, there's some bad stuff going on. It's just like these weird reports. It's so funny.
Yeah, man. And he sounds like Jimmy Stewart in your version, apparently.
Hey guys, I lost it. I'll get
oh,
it back.
It's hard. You only.
Jimmy Stewart.
That was.
Nothing is hotter than on Twitter. Do you remember when this was going around of like old time like movie
yeah,
bloopers?
Yeah, that one blooper
and
of
Jimmy
him
Stewart like
to the camera. Oh, yeah, my God. I know it well. You actually mentioned it on mic. I don't remember what episode.
I think the one thing that I've crushed the hardest on maybe ever. It's so. It's like. It's like also because it also feels so emblematic of like my sort of embarrassment. Everything
right.
about it.
Oh,
like,
I didn't know you were still recording. Yeah. Love it.
Anyways, so the Eddie Brock report.
Yeah, I mean,
he's tasked with doing puff pieces.
We all know
the we know
Venom
what happens.
Story. Yeah. Eddie Brock is an investigative journalist. He investigates too hard
journalist.
And gets himself fucked over.
He is my favorite thing when he gets fucked over where someone goes, aren't you X? And they reply,
I used to be.
It's
you're
my
still Eddie Brock.
Favorite line.
Bro.
Also,
so funny. The idea that all of San Fran is like, oh yeah, that Eddie Brock
the
guy.
The Eddie Brock report, right.
Looking out for the little man on the street.
Hey,
like, what?
A comrade for all.
Yeah, totally. I think that, obviously, first of all, I think that this movie takes too long to
get to Venom.
Venom.
Yes.
The first
that
30
was my
minutes
fucking note. Yeah.
of this movie are pointless.
Do you remember the movie Life?
Yeah, of
how
course.
Everyone thought that and Venom were going to be like that. Life was a prequel to this. Do you remember that?
that's the stupidest thing.
It was just because of the trailers, and people were like, guys, life is a secret prequel to Venom.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It was wild living. That was also like, I feel like when the like Cloverfield stuff was happening.
Right.
Where it was like maybe like the Super Bowl one. It was like around that. So
something's
it feels like
a
people
secret
were like,
Cloverfield
everything's
movie.
A secret Cloverfield movie.
Nothing was a secret Cloverfield movie. No. People need to calm down and get a different hobby. I know that life is like, I've never actually seen it. I don't think it's supposed to be very good.
Someone shockingly dies in the beginning, right?
Yeah, I don't
know. I think it's Reynolds.
Though. Is it Reynolds?
I want to say it's Reynolds.
I will say, though, it yielded one of the best press tours of all time. Because,
how so?
So every once in a while,
Brooke just pulled over a nice comfy chair.
Every once in a while, some publicist, it's not their fault, makes the mistake of putting two actors together that cannot keep their shit.
Oh, this is beautiful. Who was it?
Some famous pairings have been Chris Hemsworth and Chris Evans, who are like not allowed to do junkets together anymore. Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan, which led them to get a TV show. In Life's case, it was Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds.
And that makes sense.
The interviews are so crazy.
That's incredible.
Ryan Reynolds.
Jake Gyllenhaal's all his. Do you remember the thing for Velvet Buzzsaw where he like corrected Dan Gilroy
about the pronunciation of a word or
melancholy.
How about
when he was like
melancholy? It's melancholy, Dan.
One of the best videos ever.
And let's not forget the Far From Home press tour when he held up the avocado, and he was like, "We should talk about Cabbage Patch Kids more."
Jake Gyllenhaal needs to be arrested.
I love Jake Gyllenhaal, and it's like I think he brings out the worst in his co-stars, which is exactly what you want
the best,
in a press tour. Because I feel like Ryan Reynolds like has a specific thing that he does, and it's very specific.
Yes.
And on the Life press tour, you can tell that like it's gone.
That's
he's just
so good.
A disaster.
Oh my god, I'm gonna need to dig in.
So
we'll tweet out maybe like a clip or our faves or something.
Because the Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans one when they're like both laughing so hard that they can't answer the questions.
Yes.
Oh, a classic. It's so good. It's so funny.
God, press tours.
There's
they're
a pretty
the
good Jessica Chastain, Sophie Turner one for Dark Phoenix. They're doing like BuzzFeed, Wired
like
autocomplete.
Yeah. Is
and
it like why does you look like her?
Well, no, definitely not. There's this one question where it's like, does Sophie Turner have any siblings? And Sophie Turner is like, I do not, but I ate my twin in the womb and then I went to a psychic and
she said
that it was a girl. So I guess I have a sister. And it zooms in on Jessica Chastain, who's like, what the fuck am I gotten myself into?
I remember that.
Yeah.
So many good
press tour moments. Do you remember the Watch Mojo Spider-Man Homecoming?
No, wait, which one was this one?
So this is when
Zendaya just cackling at anything Tom Holland says.
Yeah, that's good. That's Jimmy Fallon, I think.
So,
but there's it's like during one of the big press junkets and it's with Watch Mojo and Tom Holland is like, oh, I love Watch Mojo, welcome to Watch Mojo, and the girl's like, oh, that's me, and Tom Holland and Jacob Batalon like freak the hell out. They're like, oh my god, can you do the intro for us, we love Watch Mojo, and she does it for them and
they react
like they're at the Super Bowl.
Oh my god, they're like the Watch Mojo top 10s.
Yeah, seriously, they're like, that's you. We definitely have to tweet a thread
of
the best press junket moments.
Oh my god, that's so good.
So many good ones.
You know what, there should, I fucking hope to god there's some good Venom Let There Be Carnage ones. There better be.
I don't.
Woody feels like he should be unhinged.
He's very calm, though. You know what I mean?
Like it's
he's
just sounder
a
vibes.
Professional.
Yeah.
And I feel like Tom Hardy in press junkets is actually pretty normal.
Pretty normal, yeah. Well, I think Tom Hardy is a normal. I think Tom Hardy's probably a normal. He's like a tough, cool, normal guy.
He used to be addicted to some pretty hardcore drugs in his 20s. So I think it mellowed him out. Maybe. I don't
but
know.
But like, I feel like
he
expresses his wild tendencies, I would say, maybe on the screen.
Yeah.
Is my guess.
It's great. That's
healthy. He has a kid. He has a family.
Yeah. If we talked about that in the Inception episode, if that is like how, if that's what works for you, then like,
do it.
That's
I
great.
Love it. We love it.
Also, you know, also as you mentioned on the Inception episode, noted woke king Tom Hardy, who's
of course
he's had gay sex because he's an actor.
As famously.
God, so legendary.
He is. Should we crown him?
Is he Woke King?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How many more movies do you need to become one?
I think...
What's the qualifier?
Maybe Venom, Let There Be
Carnage. If Let There Be Carnage is a slam dunk.
Yes. Because if we want to, like, I mean, hey, Mad Max Fury Road, pretty fucking woke.
Very.
Can't lie.
He gives fucking Charlize the throne, basically.
The throne?
The
throne?
Stop.
Boom!
Boo.
Boo. Okay. We don't really need to talk about anything that happens in this movie until
there are some
Venom
fun stuff. Yeah.
Shows up.
Yes, yes.
Pre-Venom. The only thing
Venom
that I personally would like to shout out before Venom appears is, well, you talked about the Tootsie line, which I think is hilarious. But
also,
I think
kind of gay.
I think that like Eddie Brock's best pre-Venom moment is when he's in the elevator with Jenny Slate and he's like, aliens, like E.T. phone home.
Yes, yes.
That was the moment in the theater where I was like,
what are you
what
doing? I agree.
What am I watching right now?
Because Jenny Slate also really doesn't engage with it. So
not
you're like, what's going on here?
And you feel like, because it's, I'm sure it's meant to be played for laughs, but it's more like
awkward
than anything. So you're like, Tom Hardy, what are you doing?
that's like so much of the movie. You're like,
what is going on? Right,
am I supposed
now
to laugh?
And it's great. I love it. Once you see it once, you gain a new appreciation.
Oh my god, it's so good.
Yeah.
So he becomes Venom. I love when like the people like attack or whatever, and when Venom is like, or when Eddie first becomes Venom, and Venom like hasn't jumped out, but he's like kind of getting the Venom powers when he's breaking out, and he like leaps through the gate where he like tries, like he looks like he's gonna jump over the gate, but like kind of just like goes through it.
It's like when he smashes through the log too.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
he goes to jump over it and then just like pulverizes.
He's just like strong. It's fun. It's like the Venom powers when they're first like originating and forming are like kind of cool.
Yeah. It's so crazy how the best chemistry in this movie is between
Tom Hardy.
Yes. Like,
it's a romantic comedy between one man.
But like that is legitimately the best chemistry in the movie.
Yes.
And it's him and his own voiceover.
Hungry.
The timing is just so perfect.
It's so good.
You are a loser, Eddie.
Yeah.
You are my ride.
It's all so good.
Are you going to eat any more people? Most likely. Oh, God.
He just berates him. He's just caught, like, Venom is just like such a bully. And then when we find out like Venom's also a loser, he's like, I am also a loser on my home planet.
He like comes clean to Eddie.
Yes.
And okay, but also the like pure emotional catharsis of Venom being like, you are the reason I chose to stay,
yes,
on this planet.
That feeling when you abandon your own fucking species to stay with your lover,
to stay with your brand new host.
I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know.
And it's also the idea that they're like one in a million, because usually the symbiotes,
right,
don't
toxic
take. It's
right,
like an organ transplant. You have to find a compatible host.
Yes.
It's like you found your other half.
Yes. Basically. Yes. It's so romantic. It's
yeah,
so romantic.
It's so romantic. This is a great point to
talk about.
No. Okay.
Yes.
This is totally a tangent, but I have to say it because I remembered it during the, are you going to eat anyone else line? At the intersection of all of our interests, there's a great Tumblr thread that I'll see if I can find, that is Hannibal quotes over Venom screen caps.
Wow.
And Venom screen caps over, or
hot,
Venom quotes over
hot
Hannibal screen
that's
caps.
That's incredible.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But oh my god,
that's so funny,
because it's about eating people,
right? No, literally. That's a slam dunk for
it's
us.
It's about a symbiotic relationship that involves
is that
eating
like
people.
Is that like our Venn diagram of like Brooke and Jordan, but it's like also the same, but it's like our, it's every, it's all, it's us combined. If we,
yes,
were, if
we were
Venom
symbiotic,
that's,
yes,
what it would look like.
Yeah. Also,
oh,
if
no,
we were symbiotic,
a
I mean,
fucking mess. Fucking shoot myself.
Think about that too. Wow. Okay.
Sorry.
I
Brooke is now offended.
Damn.
Hey, I am also a loser.
I love that they're just a couple of losers.
It's so funny.
I also love how casual this movie is about Riot's extra powers, because,
yes,
they clearly don't give a fuck. And he's like, he's what you might call a team
leader.
Leader.
He literally,
great,
says
he has
he's
extra
a team
powers.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
He has like
moving
fangs.
On.
Cool.
Well, he has the knife thing that,
yeah,
he can
that's
do.
Why I like the shoulders or whatever blades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
mean, though, my one complaint, like that is what Riot looks like in. Well, that's like my one complaint is like it does turn into sort of CGI, oily, symbiotic, bodily fluid goop when they're fighting.
Of course.
Which also kind of gay. But the, like, I just wish the color of Riot was like more distinct. So it's like it's a little too close to the Venom shade. You
this
know what I mean?
Venom, or this Venom, this movie Venom is very
Venom
desaturated, yeah. And I would say that it's not as muddy as some other movies. Like yeah. At least the contrast looks pretty good, but like it's pretty boring. No offense to Maddie Leibetico, I think is very talented.
I just think and that's probably what the movie called
for. Why it looks less dull. But there's not
the
really
wood
color
scene,
palette.
Honestly, with She Venom is like kind of well lit, like where you see like it's the all well lit. They're making out and everything. Yeah.
It's just not particularly like it's exciting. Not like, whoa. And the color palette right. is gray and right, exactly. black and blue.
Blue, yeah.
That's it.
Have you? Do you know what Carnage looks like in the comics?
No.
You should look him up now because okay. Carnage is like. Insane Carnage. And is like it's a very bright red and his like he looks crazy.
Ooh, he's super red,
right? Which is
I like how red he
I
is.
Hope he's that red in the movie.
He's not on the poster.
I know, like, he's kind of a maroon.
What is this weird thing with like everything that is a proper color in the comics getting
doesn't become
like,
a proper color gets dulled down. Down it's the worst thing. I hate it so much.
It's so weird.
Joel Schumacher remains undefeated.
The yellow belt.
Literally.
They're never going to give Batman back the yellow belt, and that's so sad.
They're never going to give Batman his light blue, gray, and yellow costume, which is his best costume, because they're cowards. And yeah. What DC and Warners need to do is hire me, and I will do that and make it look cool.
As you should. Yes. But yes, I like how red he is.
It's great.
But I don't think we're going to get that. Oh,
no,
well.
We won't.
Tragic. But yeah. I mean, I love sort of how the relationship develops in terms of Eddie being like, you gotta like help me out here, man. Is this we or is it just you?
Yes.
Like it's only we when it suits you, and it needs to be we all the time.
Right.
And
like,
it's
like you're literally killing me.
Yeah. That's
well,
how a
healthy relationship
it's like, works.
You can kind of have that gay read of it where it's like society deems this relationship unnatural, and it's like an unnatural ooh. Between like bonds or like them.
Yeah.
And like when they're separated, they're not happy or like healthy without the other, and they literally need to be together in order to have a healthy relationship.
They make each other better.
Am
even
I right?
If people don't understand it
literally,
and
like sometimes you have to possess a dog
it.
To find your lover. Like it's fine,
that's just how it works. I think that like you touched on it briefly, but the idea that like the whole idea behind the symbiote in the comics and like obviously extrapolating to the films is that like it brings out qualities that you already had
possess, yeah.
is also like really interesting, because I feel like that never really gets explored, because it's more about like the powers that
right,
you
exactly.
get, and that maybe
it's like, oh, the suit looks cool versus like what it does to you
into a worse person. And I will say that Eddie like doesn't really change
no
because of Venom over the course of this
Venom
movie.
Kind of changes for Eddie,
yes.
Ooh, which is interesting.
So that's
like, well, that's
so
the thing
cute.
I think that's the relationship thing, is like Eddie changes Venom to like recognize good people
right.
and not eating everything mm-hmm. while Venom protects Eddie and helps him like discover his like journals things and like come to terms with Michelle. He like encourages him to like apologize and stuff. Like they both like help each other
yeah.
in like specific ways that you do in a relationship.
It's so great.
It's so wholesome.
I love it.
We love it.
It's
we ship
so
Venom.
Much fun.
We
Simbrock. Simbrock. And there's so many good like rom-com lines, like the
right.
you know, you're the reason I stayed and whatever happened to we.
Yes.
And
even though we have no secrets, like there's yes. like there's nothing in the closet for these two. They're both out.
Mm-hmm. They know everything about each other because they have to,
right?
And there's like fun like buddy comedy elements that I love as well.
That's not homo phobic,
no,
which I really liked. There's no like,
hey man, get out of my body,
right? There's nothing like that. There's nothing where it's like, oh, like this is weird, like oh my god, you know what I mean? It's just like kind of accepted immediately,
yeah,
which I really love.
Yeah, I mean, I even love when Eddie is trying to break in to like deliver the evidence, and Venom's like, "Oh, you want it
go
up? Why didn't you just yes. say so?" Yes. Like, it's great. And also, the jump pussy payoff is
so good,
hilarious. I think that was the one laugh that like I really heard through the theater when I saw it. Everyone thought that was hilarious.
That's so funny that that's the one.
It's pretty funny.
It is. It's good.
It's a pretty good payoff.
God,
yeah. So cute. I think that. Honestly, all the rest of the stuff I have is like
know,
three hits at the end of the movie.
That's literally it.
Okay,
like,
great.
I'm looking at two. It's like, I think it's like base. I don't know. The whole big takeaway that I had with this was that it's just so interesting to see having watched Spider-Man 3 recently, whenever we watched it, in this, and sort of like the different approaches. But I think the thing stays the same, and it's like Venom is really about finding yourself in like bodies and like bonding over, and like, you know, it's like about like becoming like one with someone in a fucking relationship, and mm-hmm. like learning to like accept this queerness in you and like being okay with it. And like Venom on its own is like a kind of a queer fucking icon. Weirdly.
Go off, Jordan.
I guess. I don't know.
Speak your truth. No, I love it. And it's, I think, like, that yeah. if you look at the arc of this movie, I think that that is definitely like part of it, because there's obviously the kiss, which is
amazing. We haven't talked about the kiss. That's, I think, where it seals the deal, right? Where yeah. it's like Venom literally takes over Michelle's body and makes out with Eddie Brock to give Venom back, but also like they have to tongue, and Michelle sort of like recognizes it, but is also like, Venom was kind of doing that.
Well, she literally says at the end, she's like, oh, the kiss, that was your buddy's idea. Right. Which is like, oh, that's cute that Venom wanted them to get back together.
Did Venom want a kiss?
Obviously. I'm sure that the first read is how it was like meant to be written, but yeah. like everyone has been like, oh, so Venom was like, this is a great chance for me to make out with this guy.
With that fucking long ass tongue of his.
Oh.
The way that he's like licking all the men and everything too.
I wouldn't, if I had to not include that in what we're talking about, I wouldn't. Yeah. But because it's more just like gross.
Gross. Yeah. No, this movie, I think the thing is, this movie is kind of gross.
It's gross for sure. But in a fun way. Yeah. In like a very middle school slime sort of way.
Yeah. Like boogers.
Yeah. Ugh, ooze. Ugh. But, you know, in that same scene when Michelle Williams and Tom Hardy are talking about like when she was briefly Venom, she's like,
when she was Shenomed.
Yeah. And he's like, it's great to feel that power. And she's like, when it's inside you.
Hey.
I know it's supposed to be flirting, but all it reads to me is like,
I agree.
Fellas, is it gay to share a body with another dude?
Yes, that's the whole fucking thesis of this movie is literally just like, fellas, what if we shared a body?
What if, is it gay to share a body? I don't know.
And the answer is yes.
And Eddie is so sad when he thinks Venom sacrifices himself, when he makes
he
a little
screams out
ooze
Venom
parachute.
Yeah.
Venom, no. Yeah.
It's so, I That's honestly beautiful. Was upset when that happened. I was like, oh no, Venom.
Did they ever explain how Venom gets
no.
back in? I'm not complaining, to be clear. I don't think I don't think
we'd even need it.
Ding against
because it's
the
like,
movie.
Yeah, because then it cuts to him and Michelle sitting, and then Venom talks to him.
Yes, and you're like, oh shit, I guess Venom
cool,
is
Venom's
still
alive.
There.
Yeah, and then he just starts talking to him.
Yeah, it's awesome.
God, I just keep thinking about the lobster tank scene. Like, it's, I think the thing is like what we're talking about with Hardy's delivery. It's like so manic and fast and unhinged. It's just like the things and choices, like his head is moving in so many specific ways. And it's just such a unhinged. I don't know if we're getting across how unhinged it is. Maybe we are, but it's like, he is doing so much.
He's doing a lot. I think that the best way to experience this performance is to watch the movie.
Venom, yes.
Like, you don't really understand until you watch it. Just because I think that we're saying that, like, oh, it's so crazy and all that stuff, but you don't really understand how kind of, like, unnerving in the best way it is to see ostensibly, like, a Hollywood leading man lose his fucking mind.
Like, when he rips open a bag of tater tots and just starts, like, throwing them in his mouth, it's, like, uncomfortable.
This is, like, the center of a superhero movie. This is supposed to be, like, this big launch pad, and it's just so crazy to be, like,
this is the movie that launched the new, like, era of Sony movies.
Yeah, but he's, like, he is charismatic. Of course, but he's like actively uncharismatic. He's daring
you to not like him and like the performance.
And he's just doing the weirdest things.
It's so bizarre.
And it's awesome. I wouldn't have it any other way. If every blockbuster was at this level, the world would be a much better place.
I agree.
But maybe it's we like it so much because it's an outlier.
Maybe. Maybe that's because like it's a loser. Like most, you know, we're out, as you were saying, outliers, outsiders. Like a lot of queer people, like we feel on the outside. Like Venom is
totally,
an outsider.
Totally, Jordan.
Venom doesn't care. Venom likes all genders and backgrounds. Venom's woke.
Jesus Christ. That's all I have to say about the movie.
About Venom.
Venom. Do you want to know how this movie did?
I do.
Okay.
Do you? Oh, sorry. One last thing.
You go for it.
I do wish that Venom had the spider on his chest, because I don't like how it's just like the weird white sort of gloop. Like, I wish it was a cleaner
fit. I think that fit, because there's because not the even a mention of Spider-Man, there is a Stan Lee cameo. I love that Venom's
very
like,
weird Stan Lee cameo.
Who's that guy?
I think it's like one of his last like ones where he was alive.
Yeah.
Which is like, wow.
Yeah, crazy.
Venom.
So besides the Stan Lee cameo, there's no mention of anything. No. He doesn't even mention...
He says the Daily Bugle
does
once.
He mention the Daily Bugle?
Or, okay. No, he says Daily Globe.
Yeah, the Globe.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh, I guess so, yeah.
So there's not even
hashtag
like...
alt-universe.
A hint of Spider-Man.
Maybe it's like fanfic of... fanfic? Like, what is it like where, like, if you're writing a fan fiction of, like, so if you have a character, we've mentioned this before, you have a character, but you move them to, like, a new world.
Alternate universe.
So is this an alternate universe fanfic of Venom?
I think that it just means that they didn't know how the Sony Marvel deal was going to shake out and wanted to cover their asses.
Yes, but also...
alternate... It's
is
not,
an alternate universe fanfic?
It's alternate universe, but, like, alternate universe where there are no superheroes. So, yeah, I guess so.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like if Peter Parker worked at a coffee shop.
Right, exactly.
But usually the whole point of alternate universe is they don't have their powers. I don't even know how alternate universe Simbrock would work. I have been looking at Archive Whoa. Of Our Own, and I don't see it very often in the tags. These tags are pretty fucking
graphic.
Crazy, I gotta tell you.
Can you say one?
Tentacle sex. So this movie made $213 million domestically.
Jesus fuck.
Can you believe? So this movie made $853 million worldwide. That's so much money. Why did this movie do so well?
People,
I don't know.
Brooke, you're underestimating how much people wanted Venom. Like, they forced...
apparently so.
Spider-Man 3, they forced Venom into that movie because Venom, like, Sam Raimi was doing his villains that he liked. And they were like, you have to do the villain that everyone loves. Like, people love Venom. The fans
Crazy.
Love Venom.
I don't really get what is appealing aside from
Let there
the
be
queer
Venom.
Aspect of it, which is not what everyone wants. Although, maybe it... is what everyone wants.
Well, that's
wants.
The thing is, it's like, it is interesting for the two of us. We're like, I like Venom. I think he's interesting, but he's not like my favorite villain or anything. Or it's like, I prefer other characters far more. So it's like always fascinating for me, like, what is the allure of Venom?
I don't
know. You
know? I don't get it. I think that...
like, this is the Venom I like.
Yeah, this
I
is
think this rules.
Awesome.
But, like, I don't want to see a darker, gritty Venom. Like, that doesn't... like, a horror Venom sounds boring to me.
It's probably...
like, body horror, Cronenberg shit? No.
Oh. I don't think that it would be Cronenberg level, though. I just think it would be,
like,
bad.
Well, there's that shot where, like, Venom pops out of the eyes or whatever, where, like, takes over his... remember, like, when he scares the guy? Like,
yeah.
It would be like that?
I don't know. It's so CGI. It's so goopy.
Right.
I think that... it's probably what people are looking for is, unfortunately, like, the most boring version of this character, which is like, oh, he's big and bad and cool. Like, there are a lot of people that like comic books and other related properties that are like, I just want the
cool
people
guy.
That I like to be cool guys, because
be cool.
then I too can be a cool guy. Like, I think that, unfortunately, that is like super, super pervasive. So that is what I would have to guess.
No,
but you know
right.
what they got? They got a deranged rom-com instead.
They did. Which Sony realized on their re-release, or their fucking DVD release, they started marketing it as a fucking rom-com.
Yeah.
After it made $856 million.
Sony released an official rom-com trailer of Venom in November of 2018.
Oh my god.
And the tagline was, this holiday season, two worlds become one, Venom movie on digital December 11th.
Oh my god. See, they knew. I mean, they're like,
they know that the ship is canon.
If you just like Google it, Simbrock is everywhere. Sony recognized it. Like, it's impossible to deny that Venom had queer appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Venom is queer. I'm sorry. Like, asexually reproducing, gender fucking fluid.
In a relationship with a
man
while
also wants to be
presenting as another man. It's all there.
We have to stand.
I'm really glad this movie did really well, because I hope that it lets them have freedom to do whatever they want with Let There Be Carnage.
I hope so too.
Director Andy Serkis, my
Wild
future is in your hands.
Insane that Andy Serkis is directing.
I'm ready. You know?
Are you ready to Let There Be Carnage?
I'm so ready.
Okay, so this
I
movie
really
made
am.
That much money. They're getting the sequel. I feel like, what wasn't Let There Be Carnage supposed to come out last year? Did it get a year pump, or was it this year?
I don't know. I can't keep track, and I don't.
Everything's
frankly
moving.
Don't give a fuck.
You were waiting patiently for carnage.
I was not.
Biting at the teeth.
I will be.
You weren't chomping at the bit.
Chomping at the bit.
Chomping at the bit with those huge venom teeth.
For sure. Chomp that bit right in half. I will be seeing it. We will both be seeing
it. Oh, of course we will. Opening night.
We need.
With lobsters.
To talk about it. Oh, what if we bring lobsters?
We bring lobsters into the theater.
Potentially.
Did you see what the lobster was like, marshmallow and like chocolate and stuff like that?
Sounds
that
he got good.
I know. I was like, yeah. Can I have one?
I mean, he crunches that thing.
Oh, he digs in. His eyes go wide. He's like, hungry.
It's so good. I love it. I love it. I love it. I can't believe we almost forgot to mention the rom-com trailer. Thank God we caught that at the end.
We are in love.
Like, that's so good. We'll tweet that too. We got We got a lot of good shit to tweet. Okay. Do you want to guess the average Letterboxd rating?
Fuck. Okay, so this one's not going to be high.
Or is it?
No, it's not going to be high. This movie was hated. Let's go with like a 2.7.
Okay, final answer.
Because my heart was like 2.5, probably. Like, I feel like that's probably like the middle. But I want to say like, I want to say that people like me maybe give it a little higher. So 2.7.
Okay, I have pretty good news for you. It's a 2.8.
Oh!
Even higher than expected.
Let's go.
This has a decent amount of 5 stars. There's a
you
little
You love to
pop.
See it. That's what I thought. Because I was like, I know most people are low, but there's got to be a few.
And, you know, there's over 34,000 reviews and over 391,000 people have watched this thing. It's popular.
Would you say a lot of people got venomed?
A bunch of people got venomed. And, you know, the reviews are amazing. All the reviews
are just
like,
every review
is
just
gay,
like,
it's
oh,
gay,
it's gay. It's gay.
It's gay.
Yeah.
It's gay.
Because guess what? It is.
It's gay, and that's why we love Letterboxd.
That's why we ship the symbiotes.
Literally the third highest review, I swear to God I didn't, was Fellas is a Gay to Literally Occupy Your Bro's Body. This
there
is a romantic comedy. Yep.
Yep.
It's great.
Yep.
We all pretend our intrusive thoughts are our boyfriend. No need to make a whole movie about it. Really good.
The fact that it's, like, because so many times, like, we'll say, like, that will be, like, the ship community, or, like, they'll try to dig, like, it's all over this movie. It's impossible not
it's
to see
it. And even Sony knows it.
Right. So, like, at that point, come on, guys.
And it was just so great because it, like, really exploded after this movie. And I love when that happens because you're just like, right, the internet collectively coming together to look at something super weird.
Well, that's what I love about, like, why I'm so excited for the sequel and why, like, I love seeing this movie all talked about on the internet is, like, everyone collectively loves when clips and everything gets circulated, like,
yes,
no, like, if the lobster scene, you see someone tweet it, you instantly like retweet it or like it, like,
there's
someone, like, the trailer drops for Let There Be Carnage and we lose the internet for half a day.
There's
like, everyone loves it.
Yes, very addicting about like a little sound, it's not a sound bite, but like a little clip that you're just like, Jesus Christ, what is this?
Right.
That's
right.
Like 30 seconds for you to be like, what?
You can't look away.
For good or for bad. In this case, for good.
Right.
And it's awesome.
Michelle Williams being like, Tom Hardy, are you okay? And him being like, food.
I'm fine.
Eddie.
It's so good. Where's the Oscar? Once again.
Eddie, where's our Oscar?
You got me with that one.
The Academy of Arts and Sciences. So I would like to thank Symbiotes Everywhere. Riot. Fuck you.
Okay.
The Golden Globes. You are a loser.
They are losers. I think we can say that candidly.
This should have been nominated for motion picture, musical, or comedy.
I know, it is a comedy. It could be
Venom, Let There Be Carnage at the Golden Globes in 2025?
Yeah, the Golden Globes will not be happening in 2025, let me tell you that much.
Okay, so here's how we get Let There Be Carnage a SAG nom.
Did this get any Razzie noms?
I don't think it got any noms.
Let's see, critical response, accolades, nothing for the Razzies.
Oh, good. Honestly, good. Thank God.
That's great. That's really nice. It was nominated at the MTV Movie and TV Awards for Best Kiss.
I'm sorry. Wait, we need to read out with who?
Let's see here.
Eddie Brock, Venom, and Anne.
Yes, exactly. Okay, the nominees for Best Kiss. Oh, ugh, this is why the MTV Awards are so crazy. Tom Hardy and Michelle Williams. Venom. The boys from Sex Education, who have a very steamy kiss, which is great. Charles Melton and Camila Mendes from Riverdale. That's not even a good combination. Aquaman.
Wait,
Jason
this is
Moe
a terrible year of kisses.
And the people that win are Noah Centineo and Lana Condor to All the Boys I Loved Before.
Brooke, honest to God, why have we not been doing this more. This feels like it should be a bit, because look at the year before where Love, Simon wins.
Oh my God. I think we did talk about that on the episode.
Did we talk about how that
won
Best Kiss?
We were like, it won Best Kiss. Oh, so cute. We don't cover a lot of things that have coverage also at the MTV Movie Awards.
That's true. Moonlight won for Best Kiss though, and that is honestly incredible that they have that win.
Great.
I know.
Oh my God.
That's really cool.
Wow.
They have Emma Watson and Dan from Beauty and the Beast, and are they talking about like, does she smooch like to bring him to life? Like, that's the kiss?
Mm-mm, they kiss after. She brings him back to life by crying
and
on
then
his
they kiss.
Chest. Yes.
Got it.
Yeah.
Even the ones like this year, like Lily Collins and Lucas Bravo for Emily in Paris, like that's the nom.
Have they announced the winner yet this
year? Yeah, it was from Outer Banks.
Boo!
I literally don't even know what that is.
I don't watch that show. It's a bad Netflix show. Okay.
Wait, Scarlett Johansson and Chris Evans from Winter Soldier got nommed?
I did know that. And that's like a kiss with zero chemistry.
You know
the MTV movie
the kiss for
so
that
weird.
Should have been Steve Rogers and Bucky Barnes. Because they should have smooched.
Yeah, shoulda, coulda, woulda, Jordan.
So despicable. So despicable. The grip that Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson had, holy shit.
Crazy.
Oh, that's incredible.
Are you just on like the best
I'm
kiss rundown
at,
now?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is great.
Hey, speaking of
holy shit, Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis got nominated for Black Swan.
Yeah, they did. I don't know if they were hosting these things in 1999, but I guarantee you Bound got nominated.
Can we, Brooke, can we host? This feels like something we would excel at.
Do you think we should do like our own best kiss?
Yes, we should. At the end of the year, we should do a best kiss.
We don't talk about very many kisses, though.
No, we don't. Wow, this is a really good... 1998 has Kevin Kline and Tom Selleck for In-N-Out, a popular gay movie.
A movie that we will cover one day.
Leo and Kate for Titanic.
Of course.
Damon and Minnie Driver for Good Will Hunting. Chasing Amy. But the winner is Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore in The Wedding Singer.
Oof.
The fact that Leo and Kate don't win for Titanic for
that's
that kiss.
Crazy.
Is that like scene like
defined
like
a generation.
Awoke so much
that's
sexuality.
That's crazy
in
that the Wedding Singer won. But that's why MTV is crazy. Also, shout out to Chasing Amy. That's a same sex kiss,
true,
I think.
But
yeah.
Bound was nommed by
ha!
The way.
Boom! What did I tell you? People love how hot that movie is, including me, but I mean, cool about it.
Are
I'm
you?
Queer and it's
are
cool
you cool
for
about
me to
it?
Do it.
It's interesting. Your face is turning bright red.
Yeah, it's not objectifying when I say that it's hot.
Last question.
I'm special.
Who do you think has the most noms?
It has to be
Kristen
Stewart.
Stewart with 6.
Yeah.
Robert Pat with only 4.
So 4 of them were for, I assume that 5 of them were for Twilight.
I'm guessing.
Because of the Jacob kiss.
Yes, exactly.
But I wonder what the 6th one was. Was it like Adventureland or something?
Probably something like that, yeah.
Maybe it was, when has she kissed a woman? Many times, but when specifically? Do you
it
think she got nommed
like
for
any
that
of
SNL?
Her movies. No.
No, that's so sad. It's so unfair that she has 6 best kiss noms and all of them are with men. What's
it's
the 6th one?
It's for the, oh my God, you're right.
Is it
Dakota
for SNL?
Fanning for The Runaways.
Oh, so close. I was going to say, is it from the Totino
sketch? She had a
sketch?
Double nom that year.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Go
so did Taylor Swift had a nom for Valentine's Day.
Oh,
with
hey,
Taylor
with
Lautner.
Taylor Lautner.
Yeah.
Look at that.
This has gone off the rails.
Do you want to give our QQ ratings?
On a scale of 1 to 5 like MTV kisses.
10 minutes on the MTV best kiss. Oh,
I mean, my brain is blown. I didn't know this like was that big of a thing.
Once again, this is what happens when we have guests for a very long time and
yes.
then don't
and
have
they let
guests
us off the
for
leash.
An episode.
Yes, they let a venom.
Because we have to impress people. They need to think we're cool.
You know what
but
it is?
You...
Is that I have been possessed this whole episode.
Oh, okay. That's
venom
so great.
Venom has been doing the podcast, Brooke.
I was going to say that you, the listeners, can know that we're losers. The guests... You know,
you are a loser.
We'd like them to come back one day, so we want to appear somewhat good at our jobs, but you guys can know the truth.
All podcasters are losers, Brooke.
That's true. I cannot lie on that.
What
front.
Is your queer quadrant rating?
I really don't know.
Do you want me to go first?
What to rate this? Do you have one like locked and loaded?
I got
one.
Oh, yeah.
No, I got this.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that this was much more happy accident than it was intentional. But
yes,
honestly, but there's so much on screen. I think everyone saw what this movie was supposed to be.
5 stars.
It's
I'm just kidding.
Definitely not 5 stars. I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Yes.
That's Yes.
Same.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I was so nervous that I was going too high. Yay.
No,
I think 3.5 is right.
It's pretty.
It's gay.
It's pretty gay.
It's gay. It's gay. Two, the Venom character themselves, I guess. I don't know. The alien symbiote, like, throughout its history has been, like, homoerotic and, like, sexual and queer and, like, it's impossible to deny, like, the history that's there. And, like, the fact that you get some of that on screen and Tom Hardy delivers the goods to make it even more evident, I think it's impossible to overlook. Like, if people see this movie and they're like, oh, I don't know how it's queer, I look at you and I say, I'm going to get your pancreas and then your kidney and liver.
Good job. Yeah, it definitely is. And I think that
they're just turds.
Very hard to deny.
In the wind.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm so glad that the first really mainstream yes. Venom-centered movie that we got is actually this. A gay rom-com.
Like, if this was, like, a hard R, boring horror thing, I
would
have been like, oh.
It would be so boring. We would
lame.
Have no fun with it.
It needs to be fun.
It's really fun. Yes. And we're going to get carnaged up.
We're going to let there be carnage.
Yes.
The only one nervous thing is I have that they changed the wig. I wish they kept the wig.
They were never going to keep that wig.
It was so
that
scary.
That wig is actually bad. So they also appear to have given Michelle Williams a slightly better wig because
yes,
her wig
did.
In this is
her wig is not good in this.
Pretty bad.
It kind of makes her look like I was like, I knew it was Michelle and I was like looking at her. I'm like, something's going on.
It doesn't frame her face nicely. She has like an amazing
She's
face.
She's such a good face.
She looks amazing with a bob. I love her with a bob.
I was just going to say, I think her best look is in Manchester by the Sea.
I think her best look is in I Look Pretty, even though that's crazy.
That's a good look.
But like Manchester by the Sea, like she's looking pretty rough.
Yeah, but it's like, look at who I am.
I know.
She's dressed like a masshole and has a cute bob. I'm like, oh. Who
but
are you?
She looks pretty bad.
What?
Like she's,
wait, why?
She's stunning.
Did something happen in that movie?
She's a stunning woman.
Did something happen to her kids? Tell me, Brooke, why would she look disheveled?
Oh my god, that movie. I mean, great film. Can't
Good
deny.
Film.
Can't deny.
Oh my god. Yes. Anyways.
Anyway. Look, if
Not
you
Blue
want
Valentine.
More of,
I'm trying to think of other cute Michelles.
She's cute in everything.
Yeah.
She's cute
How is she in, I haven't seen Fosse yet. How is she in that?
Oh my god. She's
is she
so
amazing in it?
Fucking good.
Yeah.
And I don't know where the awards
Did
were.
She not win?
I don't think
I think only he won, actually. I think you're right.
Classic.
I think she got nommed. I'm like
sexism.
You know, I'm gonna
man.
Double down on it. I'm gonna say she was nommed, but she didn't win and he won.
Well now I have to look this up.
This is
Please
important.
Hold.
Hold for Venom.
All right. She did win the Golden Globe.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Yeah. So she did
Which
get a
is
win.
Great.
That's good.
And she won an Emmy.
Oh, so did he not win then?
I guess maybe not.
Oh.
Interesting.
Hashtag girl boss.
Michelle Williams.
Hell yeah.
I thought she got fucked over, but I guess not.
No,
yes.
I know she had a nom.
Sam Rockwell was nominated, but he didn't
that's,
win.
I knew it was only one of them had
and
won.
Michelle Williams
There it is.
Won. If you want more of all of this.
This is a real Venom ep.
You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Brooke B. Solomon.
At Venom. Or Jordan H. Gus. God, something in me.
Wow, that's crazy. And we're together symbiotically.
Queer Quadrant.
At Queer Quadrant.
There's
and you can find
two Qs like two Venoms.
This podcast on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts.
The Eddie Brock Report.
And wherever else you get your podcasts. Please.
He listens to it. He goes, wow, what is this great podcast?
Please drop us a rate. Drop us a review. Drop us a follow.
Web in, baby.
Do all of that. This is great. I don't even need to do my own bits. You're just doing them for me. I guess that's a little symbiotic of
it
us.
It is.
And, you know, you can tweet at us and tell Jordan to
What would you like to see next week?
Shit. As we mentioned,
yes.
You get your super special New Movie Sunday Oof, bonus F
crisp.
On Venom Let There Be Carnage. So tune in 2 days.
I'm sorry. What was the title?
Venom Let There Be Carnage.
One more time.
Venom.
No. Venom colon.
Oh
let
my
there be carnage.
God. There are too
Come
many
on.
Bits to choose from. I was
yeah,
like, is it the punctuation
like,
bit?
Oh
is it
God,
the
is
Eminem
it Eminem?
Bit?
I don't know what I'm doing.
Is it the colon bit?
Okay. Absolutely
Lungs,
not.
Lungs, pancreas, I'm sorry.
So many snacks.
Yes.
So many bonus episodes.
So little time.
That's Friday, or that's Sunday. Enjoy. But
next Friday, our proper main feed episode is the kickoff of a very exciting month. Mm. As you know, it is ramping up to be October, spooky season. Whoa. Here on the QQ. Whoa. Aren't we so excited? As queer people, we're actually required to love, yes, Halloween and spooky season. Yeah. Like, canonically, like, they revoke your gay card if you don't.
That's true. A ghost actually takes over my body.
Mm-hmm, yeah. For sure. But, you know, this year we want to do a whole month of nice, spooky movies.
Last year we did one movie.
We did one, and we, you know, we just really wanted to one up ourselves.
Enough. Yes.
We always got to really keep improving. Yes. Yeah, definitely healthy. Yes. And definitely very,
in line
with
us.
What we like to do.
I agree.
But I'm actually really excited about this year because we, for the whole month of October, starting next week, are going to be covering 4 weeks worth of horror movies that focus on trans and non-binary themes at their center.
Hell yeah.
And it's going to be a great time, and we have some really exciting guests lined up, and we're just really excited to talk about this sector of horror. It's going to be awesome.
Gonna be great.
And we're going to kick it off next week with one of the most famous horror movies of all time.
Oh my God.
The Silence of the Lambs. Be quiet because of
the Lambs. Of the Lambs.
Obviously, there's so much to talk about with this film.
Do you think this is like the Venn diagram intersection for me and you at the most peak of how much we love this movie? Because it's like my director, you with Hannibal,
right?
A perfect movie,
and it's a perfect film.
Like, is that just awesome? Is this like the perfect movie for us?
Yeah, it's gonna be a 6-hour episode.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So
buckle in,
Up? Mask up. You gotta wear the mask.
Absolutely.
Tune in next week for that.
And we should also say that a certain guest of ours planted something all the way back in a dog day afternoon.
Way back when.
And let's just say something's about to pay out like a slot machine.
Yep. Someone is about to deliver on some really good content.
Get ready.
That's all we'll say for now. But if you're a true fan, you'll know what we're talking about.
And Brooke, do you have anything you would like to leave our venoms with? Our symbiotes, rather.
Yeah. Yeah, let's just thank Tom Hardy and Tom Hardy for bringing back the rom-com, which was apparently dead, but no longer. It's alive and well and eating people.
Here we go. A solo. How did you get your name, Venom? It was given to me. What are you, some type of Han Solo?
What are we, some type of Suicide Squad?
What is this, some type of turd in the wind? How many times can we do this?
You should put that at the end of the episode.
Yeah, just... Okay.